next on the 5 o'clock report.
A momentous decision for gun rights advocates.
We don't need more guns on our streets.
This is not the way you should pass legislation.
They need relief now.
What a monumental mess up.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
The Supreme Court fires back at Albany. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority today struck down New York State's concealed carry weapons law. That law has long required New Yorkers to show proper cause to get a license to carry a concealed handgun outside of their home. The vote today, 6-3. Constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley.
This is a momentous decision for gun rights advocates and for the Second Amendment.
Governor Kathy Hochul, though, calls the ruling reckless and reprehensible.
We do not need people entering our subways, our restaurants, our movie theaters with concealed weapons. We don't need more guns on our streets. We're already dealing with a major gun violence crisis.
But the ruling is being applauded by Second Amendment advocates. Former U.S. Assistant Attorney and Fox News contributor Andy McCarthy says the high court got it right.
Our discourse seems to presume that government has a right to regulate as long as it's reasonable. And what the Constitution says is, no, you have a right to defend yourself. And the Second Amendment is a limitation on the government, not a limitation on you.
The more than 100-page decision comes just weeks after New York State passed a slew of legislation strengthening gun regulations following mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. The U.S. Senate is expected to vote as soon as tonight on what's being called the most significant new gun violence legislation from the federal government in nearly 30 years. A successful vote is expected with Republican support, which puts it one step closer to passage. But GOP support is far from universal. Florida's Rick Scott says he can't support the bill because it weakens due process and is too rushed.
We didn't even know what's in this bill until Tuesday night at like 6 o'clock. We get the bill. And within an hour, we have to vote on whether we want to proceed.
Scott says it was clear the legislation was being rammed through.
This is not the way you should pass legislation. No committees, no hearings, no amendments.
The 80-page bill, labeled the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, includes increased background check measures and more funding for mental health, school safety, and crisis intervention programs. It also tightens background checks for would-be gun buyers convicted of domestic violence or significant crimes as juveniles. President Biden trying to rally support for his proposed summertime federal gas tax holiday.
Your customers, the American people, they need relief now.
Oil CEOs will meet with White House officials. Oil CEOs meeting with White House officials today to discuss high gas prices. President Biden invited 7 oil company execs to meet with the Energy Secretary in a letter last week where he called their profit margins unacceptable. Biden said at an event earlier this month that Exxon made, and we're quoting here, more money than God. Republican lawmakers, usually okay with tax cutting, aren't enthused about this plan, though, calling it a gimmicky short-term band-aid at best. Even economist Mark Zandi, who's been consulted by the Biden administration, says cutting the federal gas tax, even short-term, ignores the bigger problem of funding badly needed infrastructure repairs nationwide.
We need to invest in infrastructure, and this will take away from that.
If approved, the Biden gas tax holiday would cost that federal highway trust fund up to $10 billion. Amid wind-blown rain, villagers and government rescuers simultaneously searching for survivors and rushing to bury the dead in eastern Afghanistan, where more than 1,000 are believed to have perished in a powerful earthquake. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
An orderly line of men prepare a row of graves for the victims of the earthquake. A stark contrast compared to one day earlier when rescuers were forced to dig with their bare hands in a desperate search for survivors. At least 1,500 people have been injured, many left fighting for their lives.
The ruling Taliban and remnants of the international community that fled their takeover are now struggling to bring help to the disaster victims. The state-run news agency reports an estimated 1,500 more have been injured. The South Texas School District Police Chief, criticized for his response to a mass shooting, is being placed on administrative leave. Sam Brock begins our coverage.
Last night, the superintendent revealing the school's police chief, Pete Arredondo, is being placed on administrative leave, in part because of the lack of clarity that remains and the unknown timing of when I'll receive the results of the investigations.
Arredondo had previously said he didn't see himself as the lead officer at the scene during last month's attack at Robb Elementary School. Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin says says there needs to be answers from everyone involved in the response to that shooting.
Everybody in that hall needs to answer what went on in that hall. Not just Pete Arredondo, not just local Uvalde Police Department.
Uvalde, Texas resident Kim Hammond says she's fed up with the whole blame game.
Chaos is what comes to mind. What a monumental mess up.
Texas Department of Public Safety Director Colonel Steve McGraw has labeled the police response in Uvalde an abject failure. More flights being canceled across the U.S. because of a shortage of workers. Over 6,700 flights either delayed or canceled Wednesday as a worker shortage continues to hit the airline industry hard. American Airlines announced this week that it was stopping service to multiple cities starting in September due to an ongoing pilot shortage. A Western New York native and two-time Olympian got a life-saving assist from her coach at the World Aquatics Championships in Budapest, Hungary. Kenmore, New York native Anita Alvarez fainted during a solo routine in the pool yesterday and sank to the bottom. Underwater photography captured striking images of her coach, Andrea Fuentes, quickly diving in and rescuing Alvarez, who is now recovering and is contemplating returning to the competition if doctors give her the okay. Fuentes says she doesn't feel like a hero, but that it was just a normal action for a coach to help one of her swimmers. And a bloodhound named Trumpet, the winner of the 2022 Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. Trumpet beat over 3,000 other purebreds looking to take the title of Best in Show. The goal, to find the dog that best represents the ideal of the breed. Trumpet succeeded, becoming the first bloodhound to ever win Best in Show at Westminster. He now holds the top spot previously held by last year's winner, Wasabi, a Pekingese. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a scare in Watkins Glen, standing up to pride pressure, and a look back at the lasting impact of a storm called Agnes.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. There could still be a stray shower this evening in some areas east of I-81. Otherwise, tonight will turn out clear to partly cloudy with low temperatures in the 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, scattered clouds, a comfortably warm afternoon with high temperatures nearing 80. It'll be sunny, quite warm to hot on Saturday, the high in the 80s to near 90. Partial sunshine, hot, humid Sunday, perhaps a late-day thunderstorm.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. A brief school scare in the Finger Lakes this afternoon as classes were wrapping up for the summer at Watkins Glen Elementary School. A staffer reported getting an anonymous phone call threatening a shooting at the school. Moments after that call came in around 1 p.m., officers from state police, county sheriffs, and city police converged on the school building. Most K through 6 students had already been dismissed for a half day and were gone, but the 60 or so students who remained were evacuated to the school auditorium to await pickup by their parents. No injuries reported. A sweep of the building found no threats to the safety of students or staff. An investigation continuing into the source of that threat. A motorcyclist lost his life in a collision with a second vehicle in the Erie County town of Sardinia Wednesday afternoon. The fatal crash occurred on Route 16 between Hand Road and Allen Road. Erie County Sheriff's deputies responding to the scene performed CPR on the motorcyclist but were unable to revive him. The victim's identity not released yet. Route 16 was shut down for a few hours by that accident. Authorities in Wyoming County say there's an arsonist on the loose there. Sheriff's Department and Emergency Services investigators say three fires in the past 2 weeks all look suspicious. Targets included an abandoned house on Hermitage Road in Orangeville, a second vacant house on Hermitage in Wethersfield, and a bunk silo on Quakertown Road in Orangeville. Two firefighters suffered minor injuries fighting that silo blaze. Investigators are asking anyone with information on any of those fires to contact the Wyoming County Sheriff's Office. The High Court's decision on Roe v. Wade could come as soon as tomorrow. Yet what does it mean for pregnancy care centers?
It shocks me to think that people are so ignorant that they think pregnancy centers somehow influence the Supreme Court.
Paul Marshall heads up CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Central New York.
We exist to educate women and men with evidence-based facts on fetal development so that they can make a fully informed decision.
Marshall shared more during today's Noon Report feature, which you can listen to in its entirety by going to FLN.org and clicking on Family Life News Podcasts. Police have yet to make any arrests 2 weeks after a pro-life center was firebombed by pro-choice protesters in Amherst, New York.
The investigation is ongoing. I can tell you right now that there's tremendous frustration in the pro-life community nationwide. We would like to see something happen. And something soon.
Jim Harden, CEO of Compass Care, says he wonders why there's such a lack of urgency in Albany in finding those responsible for the June 7th attack on his clinic.
Kathy Hochul came out basically signing a bill to investigate pregnancy centers instead of the arsonists. And furthermore, when she did it, she called us Neanderthals. What kind of government is running New York State right now.
Hardin thinks the Hochul administration has a double standard when it comes to calling out domestic terrorism.
What Kathy Hochul has done is sent $10 million to enhance the security of abortion clinics. These are private practice, for-profit organizations. They're getting free money from the government to enhance their security, and we're getting nothing. Just because we happen to disagree with them ideologically on the nature of abortion doesn't mean that they shouldn't be protecting us equally under the law.
Hardin fears if Roe is reversed, clinics like his will be subject to even more acts of domestic terrorism. Well, one way of saying you're from Western New York is to say that you're from the 716. But that could be changing for some folks in a couple of years. That's because Western New York is getting a new area code. 716 system is close to maxing out. Buffalo resident Lori Beck has mixed feelings about it.
I'm not sure that I like that idea of adding a new area code or even another one at all. But I guess that's progress, right? People are moving in, and I think it'll always be the 716.
If 716 is your current area code, no problem. You won't have to change anything. It's the telecom newcomers that'll have to get the new number with the new area code, which would be 624, by the way. Heidi Wayman is a spokesperson for the North American Numbering Plan.
So let's say you have kids or whatever the situation is, and they get a cell phone later down the road, and they're, if your carrier's out of numbers, you would get the new area code at that point. So you may have the possibility of having both area codes in your own family.
716 has been around since 1947. In 2001, the Rochester region split off to become 585. Experts say at the current rate, the 716 area code would run out of numbers early in 2024. A Long Island Library Board has taken a stand voting to hide the pride from impressionable young eyes this month. Get that story now from Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, Mark, a public library on Long Island is banning all LGBTQ books from its children's section during Gay Pride Month. The Smithtown Library voted this week to remove all gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender books, banners, and displays from kids' viewing and reading areas. Pro-family groups argue for the move, saying sexually explicit books are a form of child abuse, and such discussions need to be done in an age-appropriate manner. Governor Kathy Hochul is weighing in. She has condemned the library's decision. Bob Price, Family Life News.
And they called it a once-in-a-century storm. Well, true or not, the remnants of Hurricane Agnes left a painful and indelible mark on much of New York and Pennsylvania. Today marks the 50th anniversary of Agnes's unwelcomed arrival here after a meandering trip up the East Coast.
Nationally, at least in the eastern United States, it became the most destructive storm of its type in the U.S. history. 117 lives were lost, $3 billion worth of damages across 12 states.
Meteorologist Kevin Williams, who says the river levels observed as a result of the day's long rain had to be seen to be believed.
In Bloomsburg, the Susquehanna River rose to 31 feet. Well, the flood stage was 19 feet.
Well, tragedies such as Agnes often pull communities together. In the days after the flooding left by Agnes, that was the case.
We didn't have any drinking water because the entire infrastructure was wiped out. And we also didn't have bottled water in 1972.
Sean Lukasik with Heritage Village says Rochester's Genesee Brewing Company pitched in by bottling water in its brown bottles and shipping them to the Corning area.
I know a lot of people who were young at the time laugh when they think back on drinking out of beer bottles when they were just kids.
Your nightly business report is up next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Indexes moving higher today during a welcomed and positive session for Wall Street. There is no clear catalyst for the positive move today, although some analysts believe the markets are simply taking a breath after the recent heavy selling. Weekly jobless claims came in close to expectations earlier today. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell saying today in day two of testimony to the Senate that an upcoming recession is a possibility. Oil dropped another $2 today to close at $104 a barrel. The Dow rose 194 points, the S&P 500 added 35, and the NASDAQ was up 179. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm, helping faithful stewards do more online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
People who are serious followers of Jesus Christ want to do God's will. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute, and I'm going to tell you what God's will is for your financial life. Really, here it is from 1 Timothy 6. Paul tells Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world. And that would include most of us who live in 21st century America. We are quite wealthy by historical standards. Command them not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Command them to do good and to be generous and willing to share. There you go. Don't put your hope in wealth, but in God, and use what He's given you to do good and to be generous. All the rest is just details. Get biblical answers to your financial questions in the MoneyWise community. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store or visit MoneyWise.org.
Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a story for everyone who's been so angry with an appliance, you wished you could throw it across the room.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We're aiming for the weekend for some nice summer weather. High pressure will deliver the sun Friday, Saturday, and most of Sunday with rising temperatures. In the meantime, and in the short term, after a leftover stray shower this evening in some areas east of I-81, tonight will turn out clear to partly cloudy with low temperatures in the 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, scattered clouds, a comfortably warm afternoon with high temperatures nearing 80. It'll be sunny, quite warm to hot on Saturday, the high in the 80s to near 90. Partial sunshine, hot, humid Sunday, perhaps a late-day thunderstorm.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, we've all been there. Had it up to here with an old appliance that just wasn't doing the job anymore. Well, there's a big guy from Sweden who was able to do something most of us only wish we could do. Pick up a washing machine and throw it across the room. Now, Johan Espen Krona has no spite for his spin setting or rancor for his rinse cycle. He was just gunning for a Guinness World Record for the furthest anyone had ever thrown a washing machine. And he got it, too. He picked up that poor appliance and hurled it 14 feet, 7.2 inches on a Guinness-themed TV show. He went head-to-head with Dutch bodybuilder Kevin De Ruyter, taking turns at taking it out on the woebegone washers. Two are actually buddies when they're not competing, and they say, yeah, it was a lot of fun throwing around washing machines.
I think people like it when you smash with stuff.
Smash stuff.
And break stuff. Breaks and,
We like it, so.
Yeah, they liked it. The audience liked it. The washing machines, not so much. And that's the world we live in for Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.